in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts for the people. Send forth your spirit and make them created. O God, whom by the voice of the Holy Spirit, you shelter the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit, give all that to your faith, to be true wise, and to forever be dwelling in God's spirit, in God's image, and in God's consolation, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
On the first day after the Sabbath, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb and saw that a stone over the tomb had been moved away. So she ran to Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent down to look inside. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She answered, but she did not recognize me. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener, and so she answered me, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and remove him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for master. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold unto me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary of Magdala went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and this is what he said to me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Why was Mary Magdalene weeping? Very simple. Was we told that before she got there she was weeping?
No.
Was she crying when she was coming?
No.
Was she crying when she was coming?
No.
Not at all. I'm sure that when she left home very early that great morning of Easter, she must have left home with quick steps full of excitement. What was the excitement about? Who knows?
The one that anoints the body of the Lord.
Huh? That's what. The real reason she was rushing. The real reason she was rushing is excited step, as I can see. It's excited step. Heavy heart here, but excited. That's one. Was that at least she received Jesus' body one more time. Her rushing early in the morning to the tomb on a mission to anoint the body, but with excitement I will see him again. Remember how dramatically he was taken away from them when he died on Calvary on Good Friday. And before the new year was, because it was evening, in order that he cannot enter the Sabbath, they had to rush. Quickly, quickly, quickly. They found the nearby tomb, brought him down from the cross, cleaned him up, bound him in linen, and quickly put him in the tomb, at least, let him be there. Not hanging on the cross overnight. Because what it was about, he could not have been able to do anything because it would be called walk, and they don't walk on the Sabbath. So it was a dramatic separation. And you only need to put yourself in her feet or in her shoes and in the shoes of her mother Mary and the others who loved him so much. It's one thing for a person to die. It's another thing for a person to die dramatically, tragically, and be separated from you unexpectedly. The way home that Good Friday, heart heavy. It's like, I can just imagine for them, it's like a case of, is this real? Did it really happen? Is it true that we can't see him anymore? Is it true he's really gone? If you have ever been bereaved of somebody you love very much, you'll understand what I'm talking about and how they must have felt on that Good Friday evening. You know, we see him at the foot of the cross till the very end. But that he, you know, everything rush. No sooner has he breathed his last, few hours later, the next thing is, oh, what do we do now with the body? What do we do? How do we, you know, it became a matter of how, what? Logistics. About burial. And before they knew where they were, he was locked up in the stone. A mighty big stone rolled over the body, over the entrance to the tomb where his body was. And they had to go away, heavy-hearted, very fast. They had not done for the Lord the things that would normally be done to give somebody what we call a befitting burial. You know how all of us are concerned about giving our loved ones what we call what?
A befitting burial.
It's one thing for the person to die, another thing to be buried without a befitting burial. That befitting burial gives us a feeling of satisfaction that we have paid our last respect, we have done it right. We didn't get a chance to do that. It was not this Joseph of Arimathea going to Pilate, the God permission, can we take him down? You know, just let it be that he was not left hanging there, getting rotten on the cross, or decomposing on the cross, as the cross he would decompose, like any normal person that dies. So they had to bury him. But without what I recall the necessary burial rite. Just tied him up in linen and put him there, leave him there one day. Mary Magdalene, who who loved Jesus so much. Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus so much. I think her love for Christ can only be second to the love that Mother Mary had for her son Jesus. Sometimes when I think of it, that's how I feel. I think after Mother Mary, in this world, the next person that loves Jesus very, very much, that is near mother's love for her son, was Mary Magdalene. That's my opinion, and that's what I feel. That was why she stood there. Mother stood at the 6 foot of the cross. Mary Magdalene stood there. On her back, not ashamed to be identified with him, even though he was being treated like a criminal and was being crucified like a criminal. If it is not true love, nobody wants to identify with a criminal. She stood there. Some women, when they give their own children that they give birth to, when their child is caught in crime, they want to pretend they don't know that that child anymore. They want to say, no. Thank you to God, Jesus was not a criminal, even though he was being crucified along with other criminals. But true love stood beside him and did not feel ashamed because they knew he was innocent. If the whole world thought he was guilty, these ones knew he was innocent and were ready to stand there whatever the crowd thought. How do you sit here till he died? They saw him give up the spirit when he said, "It is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit." He bowed his head and he died. They were there. They did not go and say, "Oh, he's dead." They stood there to see what had happened to the body. Until Joseph got permission to do the necessary, they followed to know where he was buried. Others had run away. Out of shame, embarrassment, not wanting to identify. But these ones stood there. Mary, Mother of Christ, Mary Magdalene, John, and one or two others. Having seen yet if he was buried and how rush the whole thing was, Mary had a plan. Mary Magdalene had a plan in her head. She was not going to let it end there. She had an agenda. Oh, they have buried him without necessary funeral rites, burial rites, so to say. The anointing with the necessary herbs and all that the Jews normally do to show that respect, prepare the body properly. Somebody else would have said, but on the third day, this is Sunday, it should be 2 days, after all, he's been buried already. These things are normally done before the person is laid in the grave. Anybody would have said, "It's too late. She's been laid there already, tied up with all the cloth they used to linen, that they used to tie him, the head, the body, the hands and feet." I don't know what I said. There's no point. How am I going to start losing all the cloth? I'm losing the head, losing the body, only me. Or just, well, another version of the Bible tells us that some women, other women went with her. She was ready to go through whatever it would take to anoint that body. And for her, getting to the tomb, removing the cloth, the linen would take her side. He would see her beloved master again. That was the excitement So she was rushing there, telling her that he was dead, but with a ray of hope, a ray of joy, I will see him one more time. I will see his sacred face again. I will touch his sacred body again. I will be close to him again. She was rushing with excitement of another opportunity to see him, to touch him, even if it will be the last time. I know what I'm talking about and why I'm emphasizing that. If you have ever gone through it, you'll understand. When somebody far from you dies, you don't want to go near the dead body. The dead body becomes scary. Something to keep away from, to run away from. Because it is a dead body, and you are thinking of the spirit, the ghost, whatever, I don't know why. But nobody normally will want to go near a dead body. So of us. You want to keep away. But when it is a loved one, somebody you love very much, very close to, attached to, when they die, you don't want to leave their dead body. You want to stay beside their dead body. For you, they are not dead. Their dead body is not scary. It's not frightening. I don't know why it is so. Another person's dead body suddenly scares you. And you want to take it away. It's a cough. What's a cough? Don't go near. But if it is your own, a loved one, you want to cling even to the dead body. You want to see, you want to feel it. I know what I'm saying. I take an example from when my mother died. I was in hospital without having to die. When I tell my mother, breathe her last, she goes, after I told her, help Jesus. Mama, help Jesus. Say Jesus. When I thought she was breathing hard, that kind of gasping, I was unsure that her last word, I believe that if she would just call Jesus, she would pass through the gate of heaven. So I said, say Jesus. She couldn't. She was not speaking. Say Jesus. All of a sudden, through the face mask of oxygen, she was able to summon all her power, and I could hear the struggle. And she went, Jesus! And I said, amen. For me, it was Jubilee. After that, Jesus didn't talk to me. I was so happy that she could call Jesus because her friend. She's so much power. Not having able to talk for some time since I got there that day. Having said that, Jesus, that was it. Then all of a sudden, as she came to change the oxygen, whether it was with the connection or the oxygen or whatever, maybe it was the right time. All I knew is that I don't care, I can't go. Before I turned around, she was gone. She just, I said, what? Because of my mother. Because of the Lord, what did I do? Instead of running away like she's dead, I put my whole body, I flung my whole being on her body, on the dead body. I threw my whole body on top of the dead body. I cast my whole self on the dead body and I said, I knew she was gone. Okay, how was the dead body? I threw my whole body. I threw myself wholesale on her on the dead body. The dead body of a loved one is not frightening. You want it. You really want it. It becomes a treasure. So I'm talking from experience, and I know what I'm saying. then, soon after the notice of God came to be the last offices, sacrificed dead, last offices, moved into the side room and all that. And I followed to the side room. Just like Mary Magdalene followed to the graveside. I followed to the side room. Even though they had covered her with wine and all the things and that, I followed to the side room and I stayed there. Praise the Lord. I was the only one of all my siblings that was there. Later, my senior sister arrived, and we had to go leave the hospital. But leaving that dead body was more traumatic than the fact that she was dead. I remember feeling as if my life and my heart had been torn into two. I left that dead body of my mother. As if, when I say heart divide, it's like half of me was with the body and half of me was going away. So there was this pool, and I could feel a physical pool. I feel something like a, you know, I can describe it, it's like a hook or something was deep into my real heart of the flesh of my heart and was pulling it like a wire into two, this way and that way. It was a Saturday, Easter Saturday. Got home. Of course, could not sleep. The pain in the heart was raw, raw pain. You know, like meat cut and bleeding. There was a bleeding pain. That night, the first night. I decided to sleep on the floor, not on my bed. My sister too slept on the floor, waiting for days to break, so to speak, just lying there. She died at 9 p.m. Saturday. 2 or 3 hours of the morning, I could feel there on the floor, somebody walked over my body. I see somebody walk over my body like this. And the voice said, "Oh, my mom." And I said to my sister, Mama, she has just passed. She said, "I cry." We began to cry. Waiting for us was what? Fear. I had to tell my sister, today is Sunday, we have to go to church. It's like, going to church was, well, that became a because we have to go to church. So, we got up, managed anyhow, and went to church. You will say, my car there, funny. So it's funny the root of a loved one. The day, that night of the death of a loved one is cloudy, heavy, heartbreaking, heart-tearing. The next day, the cloud and the reality descends even more. I could not just wait for Monday. Monday came. I went to the hospital. It was like, go back to all the places here you saw her last. You see that I'm going to see her. But it was concerning to go back. Go. You know, it's like mark around the places here she was the last time. Every spot was a memory. But the day I will never forget was with this thing that is like poop. Because that poop that was tearing my heart into two, that night that she gave up, continued to poop. When I talk about it, it was a real thing of a poop. Just tearing your heart out like that into two. And I could feel raw bleeding inside me. One day, I couldn't take it anymore. And I decided to go to the pathology department. Here the body was put in the mortuary. And I met the person in charge. I said to him, I want to see my mother. He looked at me like, what's that? He saw the fear on my face. He shook his head and I looked at him and said, I have to see her. I have to see her. As God will have it, that was the day I did not know that was the day they were bringing out the body from the, whatever they call it, where they put her. They had just laid her on the table, about to embalm her. So it was providential that I went on that day. If not, they would not have made it to bring her out of the ice, especially for me. So, he looked at me. He said, are you sure? I said, I don't look at him. In my mind, I was like, this man does not understand. But the only thing that can heal this bleeding, that this thing that is like hook, pulling my heart into truth and tearing it, nothing could make me to heal if I did not set eyes on that woman again. I needed to see her one more time. I felt something with her. So if you were like, are you sure? I thought you think that would she not be afraid to be looking at the corpse, the dead body? I even was like, she's like, hurry up. Wherever she is in this department, in this motel, can you just, I didn't say anything, but that was my job. Like, can you just stop talking, open this door, and get me into this motel and let me see my mother, please? When he saw my face looking still and quiet, I said, God, I didn't even answer him for then. I said, are you sure? Sure what? He said, come here for nothing. He opened the door. He said, okay, you can call me. That was the first time I was ever entering a mortuary in my life. And the big mortuary was, for that matter, of a whole teaching hospital, you can imagine. I entered. And before I turned around to say which of these cabinets will she be in, something just said to me, look on that table. I looked from the table. It was my mother that was lying there. Wow! All of you, quickly! I didn't really have this. She was the one that brought us to embalm, to do embalmment. Of all the other couples that may be there, it was her first embalmment. And God made me there just that day and that particular hour. If they had seen it and put her in, I wouldn't have seen her. So I just took big faster. If you have seen it, for a moment I said, that's my mother. On the table. I just backed the man and I went straight to the place. I stood beside her dead body. Totally naked, ready for embalmment. I stood there. As I looked at her, believe it or not, everybody. Please! I can never forget the memory of that day. Peace! If I say peace, peace can be powerful and valuable. Peace! I just stood that table on which my mother's dead body was lying. I looked at her. If you talk about peace, eh? Peace! I just kept looking at her. Peace! Eyes water! As if eyes! Eyes from nowhere was entering my body, entered my heart, went to near that raw wound. I think that was, when I say wound, if you see somebody cut your body and left a wound, the wound was inside. As I was looking at her, peace, and that raw pain and pull just suddenly, I see the hook that was pulling my heart. I see something just disconnected the hook. You know, I'm talking about something like a hook and eye. You know, I think what happened is something just unhooked it, took it away. Then that raw pain just went. I felt it just go disappear. I see something different. I was so peaceful, so contented, just looking at the dead body. Contentment, peace. Healing took place over the world, over the dead body. My heart that was turned into paper because of the dramatic way she gave up and we have to leave the hospital, leave her behind so dramatically, and like really, everything came together. It came together. Very good. Okay, I don't know. Then I said, thank you. And I turned and I went away. That was it for me. After that, I could no longer cry. No crying anymore. No. And I was able to move on, awaiting the actual day of the funeral. Funeral day was what I get to look forward to, because, she's coming home. I'm not looking at her there. I'm looking at her as my mother. She's coming home again. They'll bring back the cup home. She'll be laid in state. She'll be laid out for hours. And for me, that's another opportunity to sit beside her for hours. So when she was laid in state, people, you know how our tradition now, people are dancing, people are singing. My thinking, people are singing outside. Yeah, I don't do a tear. Took one tear. What do you think I did? I was talking about, I said, this is not time to go and be greeting people and be setting salute and be singing. I said, how many? I counted. She's out here, they arrived home with the body for laying in the evening. Let her out. He immediately the singing, all the dressing. I just reached here like this, put beside her, and sat down there just looking at her face. I will look at her face, I will touch her forehead. I was very fond of my mother's forehead. I don't know what it is. Maybe at the time. There's something about my mother's forehead that I always loved. So for me, it was like, touch this forehead. Keep touching it for the last time. After every few minutes, I will rub her forehead, touch it. I found her looking at directly over her like this. Nobody could remove me from there. Throughout the night, that they were being ready to be. I was beside the bed. Others are talking about, you know that is. My place was beside the dead body. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed it. It was peaceful. It was peaceful to just sit down there and be looking at her. All the people might be much, you know how they go much fast, last and loose or whatever they call it, last verses. They were passing now. Yeah, they were passing me and her. They were looking at each other. They will pass, go like this, go down. They will come, look. Those that are crying are crying. One tear did not come out of my eye again. Oh, dear Jomo. Oh, dear Jomo, because I'm sitting by the what? The dead body. You are the one calling it dead body. For me, that's my mother. And I'm happy to be sitting down here with her. She was not dead. She's not, to me, that's my mother. She's not dead. The body. I'm talking about the body. Praise the Lord. The body. It was not for me. It was not for me to just sit there beside the body. My world was complete. My heart returned. My pain was gone. My soul disappeared. The ache was gone. I was beside the body. Gentle of God, why am I telling that story? Because you see this lady Magdalene and her rushing to the school early in the morning of Sunday, seeking the dead body of Jesus. I perfectly 100% understand the sentiment in her heart. I perfectly understand the feelings she was going through. I can identify with Mary Magdalene 100% in that scenario. I understand. If you have not gone through it, if it has ever happened to you, the way it happened to me or to Mary Magdalene, you will not understand. You won't understand. You will ask yourself, what was the problem? Someone will say, oh yeah, oh yeah, go. And so before people know, you know how they say, they're dead. What are you looking for dead body for? Excuse me. The dead body of the beloved one that you love so much is a treasure. You will go, it is not just a matter of Otikotila in spirit. But that body is a treasure. It has healing properties. It has ability to heal. It can put it together. It means so much to you. Who needs the dead? Who needs the dead? You need them so much that even their dead body is comforting. That is also why I understand very much the 13th session. That's why I also appreciate mother in the 13th station of the cross. The Pietà. You know the Pietà? I love with your 13th station. Jesus was taken down from the cross and placed in the hands of his afflicted mother. Afflicted. He was afflicted. Heartbroken. Son of God. Son, only son. A son that was one, but everything, and more than everything. Not only to myself, to the whole world. A son with a story. A son with a history. A son with a promise. A son is God. A son that was her whole life, her whole world. That son was everything. This dramatic separation on the cross, just like Mary Magdalene, she too was heartbroken. As he died and gave up his ghost, you can imagine mother's heart. It's as if her own heart too died. It was necessary, therefore, that when they brought him down from the cross, I don't think that it is customary that when they bring somebody from the cross or when somebody dies, they put the person, they give the dead body of a big man to the mother to carry. No. Some of us don't think of it that way. We just say, Catherine says, Jesus taking that from the cross and placing the hands of his mother. You think it is normal? You think it's everybody that dies that they carry the mother and say, Mama, carry your dead body? Why did she put him in the hands of Mother Mary? Again, this thing I'm talking about. That heart that was busy in pain, in agony, because her heart was united with the heart of Jesus. And as Philemon said, for a word that is spoken against him, a sword will pierce your own heart also. This one is not just a matter of a word spoken. Heart that can unite it. One, heart of Jesus, heart of Mary. Now Jesus is dead. As he breathed his last, mother's own heart also went, almost numb. 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 The only thing that could give her that mother at that point was, as they brought him, I can imagine mother saying, "Kunye mama, give me my son. Give him to me. Give him to me. Let me carry him." She requested. She requested. "Kunye mama, mama, I don't know, mama. I need to come on to that day. Bring me my son." So I'm sure you can imagine other women there say, "Oh, don't do that. Ah, you can't find you." He must have said, "Give him to me." You know, with your preference. Give him. You know what I have to say? Just like I said to the man at the mortuary, "Look, I can't see her. I still can't see her." What about that? I said, bring him. So she sat down. They may have a lot of feeling very sorry for her at what was happening. But at her request, they took the head, the big man Jesus, and put in the hands of our mother, the woman. And she clasped him like this. She didn't just carry him like this. Once they put the dead body on her hand, she clung to him. She clasped him with her body. Bloody as it was, full of blood, she didn't mind. Full of wounds, she did not mind. She said, "Just give me my son. Come near me. Yeah, mother, why are you saying that? My wife will not pass." I said, "Give him to me." And she sat down. He must have thought, "Okay, let's give her if she wants." He took his son and gave her. I can imagine how she just can't, like I did last time, what was that about everybody? But again, all the food is that she has in her hand, she just her whole body is held in and cast her whole self and her head on him and on his head. And held it tight to her heart. Held it tight to her heart. Bleeding body as she was, his wound. He caught him and held him. For her, he was not dead. For her, that blood was not bloody. For her, those wounds, they meant, so, and then, yeah, he's dead. That body was a treasure. She must carry it at such a minute, even if it was for the last time. To tell him eventually. And you can imagine that as he held him like that, all those who were there started crying. You know? Oh, we walked, yes.
Yes, Lord.
She held him, and as she held him, her tears dropped on his body. As her tears were dropping, she took her mouth out, her mantle, and she was feeling the voice, you know. That body, Mama, she was looking at him as dead. It is for a stranger that a dead body is scary. It is for a stranger that a dead body is a dead body. For those who love you, your dead body is their deepest desire. Your dead body is bound to their wounded, broken heart. Your dead body is what they want to see. Your dead body, they want to stay beside it. And wish that it should never be taken away from them. They want to behold it, to touch it, to crack it, and hold it like mother's head, because like I was touching my mother's forehead, so rubbing her, even though it was lying in bed, cold and ice, of course. It was ice cold. I was rubbing, it was doing something, it was healing, it was rubbing. Yes. Well, that is what love does. That's the good. It's all about love. And the degree of love. And the extent of love. Love does not see the dead as dead. All that love sees that is this. He is man. For mother, that body from the cross was not a dead Jesus at all. That's my son. Give me my son. Give me my son. Let me hold him. Let me carry him. Ah, woman, why? Give him to me. Send out my hand and the daughter. Put the body of the whole man into her hand. A whole man. Remember how the boy. She doesn't boy give us a man. Not 3 years old. Not this. Man! Man! How about man? She can't. I mean, she was not fighting for her. No! Here there is love, there is no labor. And here there is labor, the labor is lost. He was not fighting for her. Carry me, the dead body, the body. You are the one carrying the dead body for her. This is my son's body. He is my son. He is mine. I love him in life and in death. In life and in death. It doesn't matter. No matter how it is, what he will be, what he is there. Tell me your mommy. That's what I do. Since the same as I am, who's going to celebrate this? Woman, what are you looking for? What did you say?
Tell me
when
you are taking.
If you know where they have put his body, tell me so that I will go and take him. She was looking for the body. The body. And if you notice, she didn't say corpse or dead body. Him, if I'm looking for him, for her. This dead Jesus is as still as loving, and she still loves him as dead to one alive. And I'm looking for him. Yes, did you put him? Did you say you put the dead body? Did you put him? For her, he is alive. When I say alive, that is in her heart. She is still the same issue. In fact, Jesus still has the same place in Mary Magdalene's heart as when she was alive. So she's returning to the dead body as him, then he puts him. Not then he put the cross. Or then he put it. If he put him, life, he's talking about the life sentence. If he did this, if you are taking him, tell me, so I will go and take him. I want him. Not it, not the God. I want him. Life. Because here there is love, there is no death. Where is it? Here there is love, there is no death. Love does not know death. Love feels life. And continues to feel life, even in the dead. That is why the one that loves you will carry you, your people when you are dead, without being afraid. While others will run away, they are afraid. Even your friends and neighbors who will come to your meeting yesterday, or even that morning. If by chance you die for this dead, nobody you are talking and you don't make for her, I die for her, and you go. What do you mean? You have become a dead body and women. But you were talking together a minute ago. And you were cracking jokes and laughing. Sticking together. The minute the person goes, and you realize that, she's dead. Huh? What about you? But the one that loves you will carry you. Wow! Carry you. And say, my child, or my wife, or my daughter. And bring you while others are in your home. Because love does not know death. What did I say? Love does not know death. Yet love you. You are alive. You are the same in the heart of those who love you. Okay. That is very much on the list. That our mother Mary has given us. As your servant, when they brought Jesus from the cross and put in her heart, she was not looking at her son and said, that child, that's my son. And I am talking like this, from a heart that has gone through this. So sometimes I look back at things that happened in my life and say, they were all gospel messages without me knowing it at the time. I never knew that the experience I had with my mother, that I will be standing here today, using it for a talk or a sermon. But what I told you happened. Real. But I didn't think I had any significance with it. Until when I now read Mary Magdalene's story, like today. And the whole thing came back, I said, yes, I understand you very much. I understand why you were rushing back 1 year. You walk a little, walk a little. Of course, they knew that God was there. But that is not the way to beat her and ask her, second you. You didn't think of that at the point. She was only anxious to see the Lord one more time. Anxious to get there. To uncover that limit that he used to try to and to receive him again. I know why she was running to meet that devil. That was it. Because that is what we heal the broken heart. Which I felt when I remember that. That thing that tears your heart out. It's just a clinic. It's just a tear into you. And it is bleeding raw.
promise. I come to you. That is what it means.
And when he was going angrily, I can imagine there was ray of joy on her face. There was ray of joy in her heart. It was the joy that was giving her the good thing. Running test that she was taking and got running out. Now what would you could be funding? Any money. Before dawn. And in the morning, before dawn, did she sleep? She was counting the hours. And I had then the feeling of waiting for this to go back to the hospital to hear my mother die. I know what it feels like. I thank God for giving me that experience. He can enable me to feel what my mother really felt, what they have often felt, what they waited for, on the money, and what they finally felt. Now, that is talking about love. Real love. Death is given in love. Have you all seen? Have you all seen? Praise the Lord. But do not get there. Come with my daddy. And this one I have asked you to go to her. I saw my mother. Did I not? I stood beside the body and I got healed. My heart healed, came together, everything in me calmed down, peace came. Can you imagine any of that thing? Getting there. And now, the body was not there. Father, thank you that I didn't get the mortuary and the same that my mother's body has disappeared. Because that was the only way of hope I had that it is healing and when you get to be healed. What if I got there and they said they could not find anybody? She can imagine me as a little plan. I can understand exactly how to die. When I'm getting there, they're not declared. She now got there. What is this? The soul has been rolled there away. Who could have done that? Alright, no problem. Could it be that somebody got there ahead of her to do their hunting? Maybe she was thinking. Only to get in. Get into the church. The body was not there. Look. These are what you do. She broke down. And she wept. She was a woman. And she showed them that she was a woman. Even her tears in the eyes. She cried. Let us not to be nice. They are not the ones who don't like, who like to make things for the men. She was a Jewish man. I know that the Jews in their behavior are very near the African woman. She cried. And any of us would cry when they are distressed. Lady Madeline broke down and she cried. All this excitement from the house overnight, something. Can you remember the Friday? She said to me tomorrow, Saturday. Okay. She had prepared and prepared. What a counter was there for it.
God hurt me. That's why it fights me.
Come back from that episode. Come back to that one. I'm not going to do that one. You just like that. When I hear this, I'm thinking, then I will announce it again, and I will do this, and I will put this on there, and I will rub this on there. She will bring this in her mind, trust me. You said this. No body, this is going to dead body. No dead body to do anything for. All the joy and expectation of her last time, of giving me good defeating lawyer, beautiful, good man, touch you once more. Don't get in there, nothing, no shoes.
What?
She just broke her. They said, without telling us, that two angels were there. One at the east and one at the head. Those angels were not concerned. I don't know why the angels meant anything to her. Peter, what did he tell the angels? Tell the angels. Okay, what is it?
Anything.
This was passage about the two angels, one at the street, one at the head. What happened? Huh? Because I don't know if you're looking at it today. They're having a whole story for you.
And she saw the two angels in fact, sitting near the body of Jesus and the lion, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord."
Exactly.
"And I do not know where they have laid him."
Correct.
Yes, he has said.
That's okay. It's okay. I'm saying it. I'm saying it. Woman, why are you weeping? Who made you come for me? You don't know what that is. Let's call her in the morning. Come and looking for her beloved Jesus. So do the best that you know how to do. I'm not at the best. If I know him as a name properly, she must have bought the most expensive prices more than anybody has ever used for a general life. Out of her deep love for Jesus. And then it was last time. Oh, this is here. I'm not so serious. And you're asking her, why are you eating? What a ridiculous person. What a ridiculous person are you eating? I suppose they have to ask and they have to say something. They don't have to say something. Have you noticed that Jane Magdalene did not take notice of who they saw? He didn't talk to any of them. See, if you're here and I, at the fact of the angels, you even nearly forget to Jesus and his people. Am I
correct? Yes.
You become excited that you are seeing an angel. You become excited that this heavenly being. And you even say, oh, you want to hear that for them, my brother. That is to tell you that when there is God, every other thing is what? Irrelevant. Irrelevant. Cannot satisfy. What you are looking for is not available. She's looking for her beloved children. You didn't show. What are you doing from heaven or Mama Sadi? Where have you put Jesus? I know who I am looking for. Oh. Jesus is the one I'm looking for. Whether you are major or a saint, you are sitting there for yourself. Where is he? Where is he? Where is the one I care for? Woman, why are you with me? Answer. Jude, answer. What is the answer?
They have taken away my Lord.
They have taken away my Lord. Straightforward answer. I am weeping because they have taken away my Lord. I am weeping because they have taken away my Lord. Day, wherever the day is.
she has said this, she turned around.
Okay, now listen. You are the one I am looking for. You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
You are the one. You are the one. You are the one I am looking for. Savior, you are the one. Save my soul, go.
You are the one I am looking for. You are the one. You are the one. You are the one I am looking for. You are the one. Save my soul.
How many of us can live like that? If we are looking for Jesus and cannot find him. Amen. How many of us will miss him so much if for some reason he is absent from our life, even for a moment, to the point that we shed tears. Shed tears. And refuse to control. How many of us? And even if you are missing him, what you get an alternative to the difference to your problem? You can't go there. At least, if I don't see him, this one again. Then when I look at that, even though I did not see him, at least I saw him there. That is enough for me to walk home and come and tell God. I come here, I did not see him, but I saw him there. Oh, they were beautiful. They were like this. They were like this. They were like this. They were like this. They were like, they were like, they were like, you will be suffering for it. Satisfied. I didn't see you, but I saw heavenly things. You know this? You will accept an authority. Am I right?
Yes.
Mary Magdalene, no authority. No circumstance, no option. I am looking for my master. I am looking for Jesus. They have taken him away. I don't know where they are. That's my target. That's my focus. I need focus in my sorrow. And until I find him, I cannot be consoled. No option, no sacrifice, no alternative. And even if you have anything, you are no alternative. You cannot satisfy my desire for the matter. You can't satisfy the Lord. No option. No plan B. It's Jesus and Jesus and it's Jesus. That's the matter. No distraction. He was not distracted. He can not for Christ, even in death, even until death, even in his death. No distraction. Nothing will distract him. And nothing will take the place of Jesus in her heart, even in death. She could have accepted the option of the angel as consolation. No? No, for her life. So she continued to cry. Even after the angel had spoken to her. So we are sure she saw the angel. Because they spoke to her and she answered. It wasn't just a vision. If anybody wants to say, are you even sure she saw the angel? You see, she is father. They spoke with one another. But it did not distract her. It did not take away her attention from the world of the evil. It did not take away her mind from the Jesus to God. She continued to cry. And the death of the angel could not control her. And she did not go away.
to go and tell her that, oh, I went there, you wanted me, I saw me there.
No, no, no. She remained there until I find him.
I am not going. She continued to look around. She not turned around and
and so Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, what are you looking for? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be,
remember that she was expecting to see
dead body.
They left a dead body. She came with fighting to anoint a dead body. She was not expecting to see a living being walking around and talking. So don't blame her. She did not know that it was Jesus. She was not expecting that. And secondly, not only was she expecting to see Jesus in her, she also knew that Jesus was beaten, battered, and at the time they let him in the tomb, she was there when they wrapped the body, full of what?
Blood.
This wound can be called wound. More than wound. They had dropped his body with both their special chain that when they shrug the person, it will be fully hidden, the flesh will come out. So there were deep pockets of wounds, like I think they carved, they did carving of raw hair on his body after the time he was buried. So his pastor, he was keeping the effect to see somebody handsome, fine, familiar. And he was looking for a body to carry away, to take away, as he said. So what do you say to your recommend? Don't be too surprised and say, so why? Why? Come in. Remember, they are there at Echo, and it was happening on Earth. Not in the past. And it was reality. So reality, you see how what you put in your grave that you expect to bring up? So she did not know he was the one. And it's just as well. You know why I say it's just as well? Because it takes me to hear what is in her heart. Now, read on.
Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have buried him, and I will take him.
Yes, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have buried him, and I will go and take him and carry him." It's very amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
You know what I said? I said there is love, there is no labor. And here there is labor, the labor is love. I don't know why you understand where I'm going.
Yes.
You are right, because this is what you have
been.
Jesus can carry Jesus.
Jesus.
If you have taken him away, please tell me when you have put him. And I will do what?
I will carry him.
Everybody has. I said no. Can we carry him? Just tell me how you made him. I'm carrying him. She didn't even tell me you had to bring him. I let him arrest him. Or take him here. I will arrest him. I'm carrying him. No. Look, does not look at an enormity of the past. Not does not see anything as too much. Not does not see anything as too heavy. Anything is too heavy. Dear Lord, is concerned. This is true love. You don't feel you can command every mountain, you can do all things. It's like the effective. If the kids do not have just decided to do dreams, one time, overnight, once upon a year ago, and right there, just to relax to the ability to carry him.
But as she was saying it that time, she was sure that if the person left the world, she would have it. And what is surprised, if she would not have been able to carry it, she would have had it. Energy would come. There is an energy that not releases. That's the point I'm making there. Not releasing the energy. Love is a propeller. Love is an inner wheel that makes the tire of the muscle to move. You know inner wheel of a car. There is an inner wheel that is revolving, that is making the tire to move. If you put your tire in the car, and the car is coming there, unless you start the engine, and that inner wheel begins to grow, then the tire grows. Love is an inner wheel that makes things move, that makes things happen. Maybe my name was taught that we did not enough for Jesus. Don't you tell me how you put him in my face, and I will save him. Clap your hands, you know. I'm carrying him. You are very strong. I'm carrying him. All of us will say, Papa, we're laughing. Don't you have your children? Have you ever had a little child, your child that is 3 years old or 4, that loves you so much and says to you, honey, honey, I'm carrying you. Has it ever happened to you? I have my children that I'm showing over the years, my babies. I hope there is more of them that do not need. All of them, as they are growing, at some point, I'm putting in the movie. What is the child come behind me? Oh my God. I said, carry me. He said, I want to carry me. And I said, carry me? Yes. I said, you carry me. He said, I can carry you. I said, well, I'm carrying you. Can I speak up? You know what I do? So make that happen. I'm just there. I was not watching like this, so then I think they were carrying me. But what can want to carry? Have you ever asked yourself, why do you get you? If you have had 5 children, all 5 of them will be in their lifetime, so what to carry you at some point? Do you know why they do it? Yeah? No! They can't want you so much. It's not just enough to be with you to fight you. They can't want to do what? Carry you. Money. I said, carry me. I said, you carry me. You go back, carry me. Where? And he said, where did you get that? Where are you? And I got out of my hand. Help the demon. And don't throw myself off. And then I said, I carry you. I said, yes, you carry me. Not want to carry. Not want to carry. And not to carry. Give me the opportunity. Not to carry. All of them use. No one can carry anything. But he wants to carry even that load that is bigger than his life. That's the matter. Tell me what you're putting and I will carry him. No people carry a mama body. I will carry him. Hey, that's a mama body. I will carry him. People can't let you. Let him have a little carry the dead body of the man. For her, do it. But Jesus, just by the time she now said that, Jesus' heart was touched. His heart was touched. Which we said after that. Tell me why you were putting and how we carried him. How we carried him. We did not tell those words. You know, if he knew the same way, you know, his head basically, his heart was torn. And he could see, this is love. This is real love. And Jesus also called out, Mary. Did you hear the word Mary? It's like, Mary. Not even of you understanding. Can you hear the meaning of the word Mary? When you said that, if you have taken him away, tell me that you put him and I will carry him. Jesus' heart was hurt. His heart melted. His heart moved. before, all he could do was accept all his thinking and what is in his mind, and just calling that name with all his own love and strength, and just said, Mary. What does that name mean, everybody? You may have said it. What can you see as in it? And I'm saying in the microphone, what do you think you want to say in here?
Mary, you are too much.
I mean, how do you are too much? Forever, what do you mean? Somebody else.
It is I. Look at me.
Mm-hmm. You want it?
Your love is great, beautiful man. Mary. Like, ha! This kind love. Mary. It is my love for you, Mary. I am so happy that at his great sight, in that same darkness of the tomb and where he was buried, upon resurrection, the Jesus that suddenly denied was greeted with such magnitude of love from the same human being that killed him out of sheer hatred and malice. I'm so happy that the first human being we met upon resurrection was an embodiment of love for him. An expression of the love of all of us who loved him. Mary Magdalene carried it to the tomb and greeted him upon his resurrection. So even, I'm so grateful for ourselves. Wow! So much love! I think he actually self-controlled. That's what I can wish. I think he self-controlled and felt better by being greeted upon resurrection with a woman, a human being. One of those who died for. One of those who died for. Coming to meet him first day of resurrection with an embodiment of what? Love. That is more than loving me, of love. And let me know, we love you so much. Never mind the soldiers that killed him. I stand here to represent humanity. I love you. We love you. We don't all hate you. We didn't all wish you dead. Some of us love you. And love you even in your death. Mary Magdalene being there, full of love that morning, was speaking volumes and speaking for all of us, telling Jesus, we love you, we love you, we can't all get you. We didn't all wish you dead. There are some of us who have not slept because you are not there. There are some of us who are wishing to see you, to even see your dead body. Some of us want your dead body desperately. And Mary stood the gap for all of us. Speaking that in her actions, saying that in her tears, saying that in her desperate sex for Jesus, she was seeking the love of all of us, past, present, and future, who love Jesus and will ever love him. She spoke for us. And I would like to think that as Jesus turned around and said to her, Mary, let me believe that he is saying the same thing to all of us who love him as much as Mary Magdalene loved him. That he is saying to me, Tella. And he is saying to you, Agnes. And he is saying to you, Teresa. Or whatever your name would be. Seeing the love in your heart that it is too much. You are looking for me even in the soul. You will not go because you can't find me, Mary. Praise the Lord. Amen. Next part, point, whatever it is, it's a writing point. Next point. This body
back to this body again. But looking at it from a different point now. This body that Mary Magdalene was looking for. Why was the body of Christ so important to Mary Magdalene? Whatever your answer may be, I want us to look at ourselves now in relationship to the body of Christ. Do we attach the same importance to the body of Christ as Mary Magdalene attached to that body? She set the body of Christ even in the tomb. You and I have that same body of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament every day in all the tabernacles all over the world. That body that Mary Magdalene was looking for with tears, we have it. We have him, not it. Because Mary Magdalene never called it it. She never said, show me where you put it. So where you put him. We have him. We have Jesus. Life, his body, real life, in every tabernacle on the face of the earth. How important is the body of Christ to you and I? It's a question that I want you to answer. Don't just listen to me, please. How much importance do I attach to the body of Christ? Let me not only search for that body with tears, with desperation, to touch that body, to anoint the body, to carry, he said, let me carry him, to carry him. Here am I with the body of Christ? That's the question today. We say from the Catholic hymn book, his body we eat, am I right? Yes. His blood we drink, of that bread of life we eat happily. Yes, his body we eat, his blood we drink. What is the importance you attach to that body? How much importance you attach to it? Are you anxious, like Mary Magdalene, to run to meet that body? Does the body of Christ have any meaning? A loving meaning? Or is it just as you say, Holy Communion, Holy Communion? Sometimes you even begin to wonder, Holy Communion, my dear Catholic brother and sister, what is Holy Communion? We have even forgotten that Holy Communion is the body of Christ. So what do you say? Holy Communion. Holy Communion. What is Holy Communion? You ask somebody. It is consecrated holy. I say, that is the issue. You know? If I come to that point, I know what I'm saying. Consecrated holy becomes the body of Christ. But do you know what I'm saying there? We come across deliberately avoid using that word. Holy Communion is the body of Christ. Because and I know, I'm not joking about this. If you find that you are making a mistake, somehow you prefer to simplify it for yourself. Because that's what you rather believe. It is the consecrated host. That's the level you are at. You have not agreed deep down in you. There's something deep down in you that is not fully accepting the fact that this is his body. You so even though you were taught in captivity and you use that correct answer to pass your Holy Communion
exam.
What do you call it?
Exam.
Exam and test. What is it? Is the body of Christ? But it's so familiar. It's consecrated gold. It's easier to call it consecrated gold. It's easier to say consecrated gold. Because something this dear is not too comfortable to say I ate the body of Christ. Because somewhere inside there in your heart, there is an element of those people who for whom Jesus said, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, you shall not have life in you. What did they say? They said, complain, they still complaining, grumbling, hmm? What is he talking about? What is that saying? Are we cannibals? Is he going to give up his body to eat? What does he think you are? Are we going to, you don't eat flesh, well, we don't eat human body. No, how can we eat his body? What does he mean by we have to eat his body? And one by one, they started disappearing. They began to disappear. Until only few were left. To whom Jesus said, what about you? You know what I'm saying? There's a little element of that in some of us. We would rather say, consecrated hope, than to say, I ate the body of Christ today. But let me tell you, prophecy, whether you like it or not, that's the heart I'm speaking. Whether you like it or not, whether you want it so or not, I say, this is my body, said the Lord. As you must eat it, as you what? Body. You must eat him. Yes, whether you're a cannibal or not. Cannibal, cannibal, whatever you want to call. Jesus said, you must eat this my body. My body, you must eat it. If you don't eat my body, this same body that Mary Magdalene is looking for with fear, this body that I gave up on the cross for you, you must eat it. So this is my body. This will be given up for you. It is that body given up for you and I that Mary of Magdala was looking for with fear. You need to be controlled, accepting no alternatives, no obstacles, no second choice. Undistractedly searching for. Others came, we didn't see, they went away. She said they are searching until she found who she was looking for. That is the body. It is the same body that Mary Magdalene was searching for that Jesus said, you must eat. I must eat. It is his body. So what am I trying to say? That body is with you and I today. This afternoon, we ate that body. During Mass, Father said Mass, yes. We ate the body today. Yesterday, when I went to Mass, you ate that body yesterday. Tomorrow, we will eat the body again. The same body Mary Magdalene was looking for with tears. You don't even have to look for with tears. Jesus walking and body of Christ is on the table for you to eat, free of charge. How much effort do you make to eat it? How anxiously do you render to eat it? Even when you are going to the communion, are you going with the kind of heartbeat that was in Mary Magdalene when she was going looking for the body of Christ? Her heart was beating faster. She, as I said to you in the story, I told you earlier, she was doing with excitement. She will run a little, walk a little, run more, run, walk. She did that all the way from her house until she got to the tomb. When you are going to communion, are you going with that same excitement? Are you going with the same anxious heartbeat? To meet the body, receive the body. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. I'm going to receive. I'm going to enter inside it. I'm going to eat the body. I'm going to... Do we love him enough? And it's also talking about Holy Communion. Holy Communion. My dear brothers and sisters, as you will know, it is not time for it's not time for Holy Communion. Then it is time for practicing Catholic prayer only. As is legitimate right. Legitimate right. It is time for practicing Catholic only. If you're not a practicing prayer Catholic, please remain on your feet. And what does he say? And the praying. And you are not even you are walking with us. And so for Peter, that is our Lord. It is our Lord. Before they even to me. Before Paul practicing Catholic, Catholic going. In their fashionable way. The one that was high here. And David, that is pointing to the sky. She's looking, come. That's her dress and her shoe. It's her concern. She's still going, are we going with that fast beating heart? That fast beating heart of Mary Magdalene. I'm going to receive the Lord. I'm receiving the body. The body. The body. This is the body I'm looking for. This is the body I'm looking for. And I'm going to be in front of me. She's inviting me. She's waiting for me. Are we going like that? Or we are going in our what I call fashionable style. Practicing practice. It is meant for. I don't understand what I'm saying. That's meant for. It is a matter of it is meant for me. It is meant for. It is meant for. Practicing practice. And I'm practicing practice. So I go to receive. Practicing practice. I am one of them. It is meant for us. It is meant for us. Is that the attitude? Hello, everybody. How many Christians am I talking to much? Huh? As I'm saying this, something comes to my mind. Give us this day
our daily bread.
In our series of the Lord's Prayer, we have gone through every line, every sentence, except that one. Just came to me today that we haven't touched that one. Maybe this is the right time to mention it. Our daily bread. We had better realize that our daily bread goes beyond eba and rice, chicken and potato, custard and steak. If you agree that you are made of flesh and what?
And blood.
And food. Then your eba and rice, you pray for it that God will give you eba, rice and stew and food and egg and chicken, whatever, to feed daily bread. Feed your physical body, your flesh. You should also pray that Jesus will also give your spirit his daily bread. Jesus' body is the daily bread of the spirit. The daily bread of your soul is the body of Christ. So from today onwards, each time you pray, give us us this day our daily bread. Think not only of rice and beans, etc. for the flesh. Also think, have I received the daily bread of my soul? Am I feeding flesh and starving the soul? Am I feeding flesh and starving my inner being? And that inner being is the real you that will live forever and live to be better self than the one that will pass away and get off. Let us pray, give us this day our daily bread, and consider very seriously the body, this body of Christ that Mary Magdalene was still searching for, and will not be consoled until she has it. Let us consider it as a very integral, essential nutrient required for each one of us as we journey through life, and pray that whatever we take that daily bread of your soul from you will never come your way. And so God, that you rather stand with physical food than stand yourself or your spiritual bread. The bread of the soul is the body of Christ. That was why on that day Jesus took bread, gave thanks, blessed it, broke it, and said, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body. Bread. It was bread that was broken. And said, take it, eat it. You must eat it. You have to eat it. All of you, this is my body. This bread becomes my body. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Let's not be looking at the bread in terms of Jesus, rice, meaning. Because on the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, the same thing he taught us, to pray that God gives us our daily bread. He now took bread, broke it and said, this is my body. He showed us that all the energy, like food, is of two kinds. The one that nourishes the body, in other words, bread is of two kinds. The bread that nourishes the body, and the bread that nourishes the soul, that gives eternal life. So when we are praying, give us this day our daily bread. Let us be praying for the two kinds of bread. Physical bread and spiritual bread. The bread of life. When in 1987, before my final vows, I was on retreat at the Jesuit in Benin. Early hours of the morning, he came, the voice came, somebody stood in my room. I know what he was singing. I think I sang this for some of you before. You know what he was singing during the 30 days retreat that morning, early morning? I am the bread. Did I teach you? I normally teach you some of these things. I am the bread with a deep voice. I am the bread that comes from heaven. I am the bread that comes from heaven. Anyone who eats of this one bread of life, he shall live forever. He shall live forever. Then he paused in the voice when he said, I am the resurrection, the life and the holiness. I am the resurrection, the life and My death over the years. I have tried not to keep people. A lot of these revelations that I received. Though I don't get that.
Thank you.
He allowed his whole self, life, food, to show on that without being inside the one's hand, containing what you call consecrated food. You call consecrated food. He was inside it. Appear on his head, in mind, in head, in head. If you see him with his head now, until he was full blown, whole self. When I say head to toe, a full man, head to toe. And he saw that he is living, not dead. He hung his head side to side. Hung it down, shook it again side to side, hung it down as somebody said. To tell us that what you call for the spiritual truth,
body of Christ. With what will I anoint him? That's what I'm saying. With what would I like to anoint him? What will be my perfume? What will be my own oil? What will be my own herb? What's my plan? Am I just going empty-handed? Even though I love him, I want to meet him. But what am I bringing to him? With what shall I greet him? With what shall I anoint him? And that should be each time we go to receive the body of Christ. And from today, for those of you listening to me today, I would like you to be thinking, I am going to receive the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? I would like us to have a change of confession. Let's have a change of language today. No longer shall we be saying, I am going to receive
the consecrated host.
Consecrated host. Though we know that consecrated, he becomes the body. But when he, after consecration, Jesus is still talking to him as consecrated host. You say, body of Christ. This is why when you go to communion, what does the priest say?
Body of Christ.
And you open your mouth and you say what?
Amen.
Body of Christ.
Amen.
Body of Christ.
Amen.
Body of Christ. Amen. The priest is not saying consecrated host. Amen. Consecrated. He is not saying that. He says body of Christ. And all you can see now today that are listening to me. So today we are going to stop saying, she's consecrated to Mr. Manapo. Today I'm going to tell you. Sorry. From now, he shall be saying, the body of Christ is in the tabernacle. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I shall end your order.
If you like, first to Sasera and come again. I'm talking my faith to you. Because that's all I can offer you. I cannot offer you what I have. You don't give what you don't have. What I have is my faith and what I believe in. And that's what I share with you. So, I take another challenge. What's the next one? When you put in the capital for potential less adoration, I know what many of you do. I went to Jesus in the second sacrament. Because this is the moment that use my full naked eyes to see him in the long time when he was exposed. What we call blessed there, sacrament and soul. He told us, he took I saw head to toe. Now, head back like this. How? How? Oh, Jesus, you are coming. Did you see this? Oh, have you seen that? So, what do you do? Can we do that in the face? With your hands up, you can see the chest. Fast, flesh, time, time, skin. And the hole in the side. The hole of the wound in the side. Hole! So is that! I am not saying to all of us, hang on! I will reach it. And I know it should be worthy. That we will not be saying, I am going to what? I am going to adore the body of Christ. Or I am going to say, I am going to adore Jesus. Just put it that way. Jesus, our own enemy. He is the one in the blessed sacrament. What you call blessed sacrament. You know, I'm not saying that the word blessed sacrament is wrong, but I am going to what am I trying to achieve? I am trying to bring him out of that abstract context. We think you have been referring to him. Look at that abstract. You know, sometimes when we start calling all these consecrated words, blessed sacrament, it is just to look like more than the other. You know what I mean? You must be eating for both, for both you and me. If you look at it, another thing you're talking about. For the children, for the unbeliever, for the non-Catholic, you're making it look abstract. The whole thing becomes abstract over there. Something, a sacred word.
Jesus! Don't get it! So tell us! That this man was trying
consecration and liberation? Or is God the tabernacle endured by the God of the tabernacle? Jesus! The Lord is there! Himself! His whole body! His whole body! His whole body! His whole
body!
Head to toe! Head to toe! That's what he showed me. Not just a fragment, but a piece of meat. As a people say, maybe it is part of his body. Maybe just a piece of flesh. The one that I saw is what? The whole. Head to toe. I saw his head. I saw his head. I saw his face. I saw his hand. I was all to the left. Up. Everything. So much body. Whole is inside that vision. In other words, Jesus is there. That's what the solution is. Jesus is inside the heart. Whether the tabernacle is locked, or open, or exposed, landed, all the same. The body. So my next concern today is what can you call the topic of today? What do you think is my topic today?
The body.
The body. The body of Christ. The importance of the body. The importance of the body. I spoke to all the layman then, how important the body of Christ was to her. She is one person for that body. That's what we do today. Something. Any money for something. That body, that even in death, our mother Mary said, could anyone want to carry on? Give me that body to carry. And they took the body and put it in the hand of Mother Mary. And she too was controlled by that same body. If she carried the body, she became controlled. That same body, given up for you. This is my body. Give up for you. Mother Christ. Also. That same body. In the ritualistic sacrifice of the man. Which we eat. Every day. And take for granted. The body. The body. Change your thoughts about the body of Christ today. Change it positively. Change it and change your confession. Call him who he is. As he said, this is my body. When you do the sin, say, I have received the body of Christ. This abstract words that make the non-Christian and the non-Catholic not able to understand the magnitude of what they are receiving. When we say they are receiving Holy Communion, they are receiving sacred tissues. Sometimes some people call it what? Sacred tissues. Anyone that eats it will have life. I am. So let us call him Jesus. Let's call him what?
Jesus.
Let's call what we are receiving.
Jesus.
I am receiving Jesus. I'm going to receive Jesus today. Let's call him the name. Have you made any sense of it? I don't want to have more confusion.
No.
This is how it is. God, over to you. Can you just say to them, God, for that I'm trying to say something for me. I don't know what else to say. No, take control of their heart. And this is happening to all who have heard. And who will ever hear through Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
And go my way. Are we all somehow to Jesus? Aha. An answer. On that, you know the Wednesday that I said that in my room that the Lord, they showed me Jesus all over the sky. Who never mentioned that for you?
Yes.
All over the place. Jesus on the cross, you know? Could come to for different times, Jesus, all the whole sky was full of Jesus covered in blood. On the cross, in crucifixion form. All over the place. Every corner I come to, Jesus on the cross, everywhere in the sky. Why? No shape, no class anymore. And that gave me hope to believe that that Angela day, or whatever they call it, democracy day, I said God will take control, even though people were kind of scared. And he took control and he passed people. That was the very day before that, democracy day. Do you remember?
Yes.
I shared it with you the following day, so the only day I saw it. I can't remember, I love that I'm talking to you. I don't remember the date now, please, so don't mind me. You will check and find the correct, but I guess it was the very day before, before Jesus Christ. So for you, I pray for that and find out the truth. That revelation was in the early hours of the morning. Then, around 10, because I don't find it in my notes, yeah, I wrote it. And I said, may God help his daughter, whom they will send and she will not deliver. They said, okay, that was Wednesday. Wednesday before dawn was the one about Jesus 55. Alright. Now Friday, the Friday following that Wednesday. And everybody, with my hand I look at the text. Because this careless servant of God did not even put the date. I didn't put the date, but I put the date. The Friday, after that Wednesday, are you listening to me? Somebody has to find it because I just remember it in my book. I have it in my notes. So Friday after that Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. 10:30 a.m. I have in my notation. The second half of Jesus appeared in my dream. And I made it short. The main message was, everyone, can you hear the message? Everyone is to do a dedication to Jesus. Jesus in the better covenant, what you call the better covenant. That is the only announcement I promise that I will not forget. Because by now, I lifted this one book for I come in and I saw that I wrote some something that I was sent to announce and I have not done it. And I promised myself, if you not take the next week, let the book disappear again. Everyone, that's Friday. After Jesus was shown in the clouds, all over the clouds, Friday after that, 10:30 a.m, the heart of Jesus changed. And the request is that what?
Everyone
should do dedication to Jesus in the blessed sacrament. And it comes to what I'm saying today. Seeing Jesus as being the one that is there. Seeing Jesus as being the one that is in every communion you receive. Seeing Jesus as being the one that is in the... I know we know, we say it. I don't know if we know. But now you are requested to do a dedication.
I don't really know how it's going to be done. But me, my God, not the way fine. Once I hear, I do. Mine is to dedicate myself in whatever simple English and way that I can. I have done it. Dedication to Jesus. Jesus. Him. That's what you call us to have a duty. Praise the Lord. So I deliver that one. It's now out of my head. It's for you to pass it on. Dedication. Not have receiving him. You know what? The dedication of yourself to him. In fact, shall we now each one begin to pray? Stand up. Now kneel down. Anyone with you? Take your prayer book for this one. Begin to ask God for what they want you to do for me. For that thing that brought you to the compound. With Christ, through Christ Jesus, the Son of God Most High, the same one that is the bread that comes from heaven, the same one whom we receive his very body every day. The same one present among us and yet sits at the throne of God the Father at his right hand. In Christ, with Christ, through Christ, the Son of God, I hereby proclaim to all of you, what do you want God, our God, the Most High God? The God of Abraham, the God of Christ, and the God of Jacob, the Most High Trinity, to do for you. Open your mouth and say it. Many times when I say, what do you want to do for me? They will keep quiet. As if they put a gada bodo on their mouth, that they will not talk. You forget that the Bible says, it is on your mouth, it is on your lips. Open your mouth and confess what you want God to do for you. There is power on your lips. And the Lord is waiting for you to say it. When he left Africa to find Gaga on the road, and he said to Bartholomew, what do you want me to do for you? The Bartholomew keep his mouth up and said, the reason is the Son of God is not in my mind. And the kindness of God gave up to see that the man was blind. But Jesus wanted him to talk. So for him, I never tell to God, I don't know what is holding you. Jesus wanted that blind man to do what? To do what? Talk. Say it. Your faith is an act of faith. It is doing God, I believe. I am talking to myself. It's an act of faith. Don't stop by your mother. It is true that God said, your heavenly Father already knows what you want, even before you ask. But that was when Jesus was saying we should not use too many words. Don't use too many words. But he did not say you should not talk. Jesus did not say you should not speak to your Father. Jesus doesn't already know what is in your heart, so he said, don't use too many words. But he wants you to talk. Say it. That was why he said to Bartholomew, what do you want me to become? Even though you can see, even though you see that the man was blind. Jesus knew, because he knows the heart of everyone, everybody. He knew that Bartimaeus was a blind man. So he had to ask Bartimaeus, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus is asking us today, what do you want me to do for you? All man or woman or child. And the Bartimaeus took the opportunity and made his prayer request very short. But the Bartimaeus said to this prophet, now that I may see. Correct prayer. He didn't use it anywhere. He just made one sentence of faith. Now that I may see. Finish. And he received his fact.
It is done. done. It is done. It is done exactly as you have asked for. It is done. It is here. It is amen. For all we have asked for, through Christ, protected and longed for, it is done. It is good. By the power of Him, who only needs to say, let there be light, and there is light. He has said, let it be so, and it is so for all of us. The Lord has been asked for what is good, what is worthy and honorable. Not anything that destroys our neighbor. We have asked for what is good. We have asked for life, for health, for good things, for ourselves and for others. Know that it is done. Anything contrary to that, that is not of God, not for His glory, is not done. Whatever is contrary to the will of God, not for good of ourselves or neighbor, it is not done. So what is good for us, for neighbor, for the glory of God, it is done. He is the one that told you to ask. He told us to speak, and He did. And we spoke, and it is done. So what is God? He is going to praise and glorify forever. As you now use the same tongue, the same mouth that you used to ask, to begin to thank Him in your own way, in your own way, in your own language, in your heart. Each one, open your tongue and begin to thank God. Thank Him for Jesus. Thank Him for your heart. Thank Him for what He has done, one by one. Thank Him.
I call down the blessing of the Most High God upon all here present and those connected to us in spirit, wherever and from wherever, all over the world today, as I proclaim in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May the blessing of God be upon you. The blessings of the Father and the Son, and let the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, be with you all your days. Let the blood of Jesus cover each one. The power of the Holy Spirit protects you. The fire of the Holy Spirit burn and destroy every evil in you and around you.
Amen.
And let the same fire of the Holy Spirit go home into every nook and corner of our sleeping places,
Amen.
Our workplaces,
Amen.
The route we walk and travel,
Amen.
To burn and destroy everything evil,
Amen.
Before it reaches you. Let all the graces you have received at this prayer session, spiritual graces, physical graces, remain with each one.
Amen.
Go home with you.
Amen.
Bring you lasting peace and joy.
Amen.
Make you prosper in all that you lay your hands upon.
Amen.
Grant you safety whenever you have to travel.
Amen.
As you are awake, let the protection of Almighty God descend upon me, His servant.
Amen.
Come down upon each one here present.
Amen.
Remain with us now and forever and ever.
Amen.
I also cover with this same blessing all who have asked us to pray for them and those whom we represent. Ad majorem gloriam Dei.
Amen.
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 Amen. In Jesus' mighty and most holy name.
Amen.
People of God, you came into this compound in peace. Now you are going with greater peace and with greater blessings. So, I send you forth. Go now with the peace and joy of Christ upholding you. Ad majorem gloriam Dei. And by the power of God, you will come back alive and well for us to continue to praise and worship the living God. Forever and ever.
Amen.
I hand each one to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mediatrix of Graces, as we say. Immaculate Heart of Mary, Immaculate Heart of Mary, Immaculate Heart of Mary, triumph, triumph, triumph in our lives. In our families, in this compound, in Nigeria, in the whole world. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, morning.
And let the archangels of God lead you safely home.
Amen.